You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We'd be joined by Otipoti Treasures, Ivy, who are here to talk about their debut album, Hush, which is out wherever you find your music. We have four-fifths of the band in here. Kia ora, gang. How are we doing?
Kia ora. Very good. Yo.
Nice.
Oh,
sure. Stop it. So would you care to introduce yourselves, my dear fellows?
Jesse, singer.
I'm James, I'm the guitarist.
Louis, violinist.
I'm Connor, the bassist.
Nice. And the record is out now. It came out 12 p.m. last night. Are you all feeling some real love at the moment?
Yeah, feeling good. I fell asleep before it came out, not gonna lie, but It's been good.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we are feeling the love, man. Yeah.
Getting some nice emails and messages from people?
We have, yeah. The support's been crazy already, honestly. It's only been out for 8 hours and, yeah, had lots of nice messages. So, yeah,
nice.
It's been lovely.
Nice. That's good. Mm. That's good. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come as the day goes on.
Ooh.
I'm sure there'll be plenty more.
He's hoping.
I saw Caitlin Ratcliffe, the former station promo person here at The One, who now works for BFM, did her debut Coffee with Friends interview with y'all. Y'all went to a coffee. And, James, I got a bone to pick with you. You ordered an iced matcha. When Caitlin asked if your orders reflect your personalities, you said yes. Are you aware of the connotations surrounding alternative coded men who order iced matcha?
No.
You're not. Okay. Well, let's keep it that way.
Yeah, of course, but I was incredibly hungover and I wanted something that was, I don't know, seemed healthier than just a regular coffee, so I thought of my girlfriend and I bought an ice matcha.
He did was it reading at the same time and like, yeah. He had a tote bag on. Should have seen him.
With a book.
Yeah,
book in hand.
Like a headscarf. Yeah.
Doc Martens on.
Yeah.
Bust out some dockies.
It was great.
Now, many in ACT are kind of investigating the sounds of the 90s and infusing that zeitgeist with new ways of music making. You guys are no exception. Why do you think the 90s are such fertile ground for sonic inspiration at the moment?
I think there's, personally speaking, I think there's been a cultural resurgence in like nostalgic trends. Like we had the whole 80s thing with Stranger Things, I think, that brought like older music back to light, and now there's this whole like 90s and Y2K movement that's happening online. But I honestly think we've just listened to a lot of 90s music as a group, so I think that's kind of what's resulted in our sound being slightly retro. But yeah, What do you think, guys?
I reckon like the 90s in general has some of like the best music of every genre.
Yeah.
I think
90s, I agree with that.
90s R&B,
yeah.
90s hip hop, 90s rock, 90s pop. It's just like bangers
it's
all around.
So good,
it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and also it feels like it was a time when like kind of weirdos could just make it big.
Yeah.
Like my brother told me that he remembers seeing OK Computer commercials on the TV in the 90s, which is kind of weird. I wouldn't expect to see that, you know,
it's
like
a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Buy this new album. That's all about how you shouldn't buy things.
Yeah.
Looking back to that interview with Caitlin, she asked how it feels to be at this point with Hush. James, you said that this isn't the final evolution. You'll keep growing and evolving and improving. How do you think Hush improves on your sound compared to your previous work?
Oh, man, we just had way more experience going into the studio to record this album. For our previous releases, I think it was not like cobbled together, but we definitely just had less of a clear idea of how we wanted the final product to sound. So I think Hush is really quite unique like that. We wrote it over years and years, so I think it had a lot of time to breathe and mature as a project. So I think that makes it different.
Yeah, I think you made a good point about like recording experience, because there's like live experience, but when you go to, I guess, put something out, put it through a digital world, you kind of got to learn how all the instruments relate to each other. And I feel like we kind of didn't really understand that with the first EP and even singles. So yeah, Hush feels like a really good step in like a band maturity, knowing how like each instrument relates to each other.
Mm.
Not just trying to fight for a spot, it's all just kind of...
It's interwoven, it's a more holistic picture.
Yeah, for the greater good.
Yes.
Of the song.
Yeah. Yes. Well, speaking of instruments, I mean, I love on the track St. John, there's a piano which debuts.
Crazy.
It's awesome. It sounds like perfect for your sound. Who's rocking that thing?
I'm pianoing. Really.
You're pianoing.
It was crazy. My fingers were cramping. It was nuts.
I bet.
We did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you did it for 8.5 minutes.
Yeah. I was sweating.
Oh, God, when is this going to be over?
Blood all over the keys.
Yeah, it was real.
In that same corridor with Caitlin, not to keep bringing it up, but you talk about Oti Poti's role in shaping the band, and because of its gothiness, its kind of isolation, nature, how the few acts from around the country or overseas come through, it sort of allows you to be more inward-looking in a way. Are y'all kind of... Do you still enjoy that seclusion and that introspection that Dunedin affords, or are you ready for a little bit of a change?
Yeah, I think...
Both.
Writing music in Dunedin, I think, is perfect because, yeah, there's no noise. You're only really surrounded by other Dunedin music. And, yeah, it's a bit of like a microclimate of
subculture
music. Yeah, mm. Subculture, totally. But it does make sharing the music to a wider audience a bit of a challenge. Mm. Just because, yeah, there's not many people here at all. So, and a lot of the industry folk in New Zealand are based up in the North Island as well, so it can be hard to make
those connections.
A lot of connections, but those local connections we've made through obviously student radio and just playing gigs around, I think, are super, super valuable and have played a big role in how we view our music and our projects and art, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you don't have many people to impress in Dunedin except yourselves and other musos and people who, like, really care, you know? So you're kind of trying to make the best music for you and not trying to make it your best music for anyone else, which I think is really great starting out. I think it gives you a good ethos, a good something to believe in.
Mm.
But yeah, it's hard to keep growing in Dunedin.
Yeah, it's so kind of maybe a ceiling.
There isn't to an extent. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned there's a lot of people up in Tamaki Makaurau. That's where a lot of the cultural infrastructure is. You all recently played at that Going Global festival showcase thing, where there's like people from around the world, from different music companies there. What was that like?
It was crazy. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Learned heaps of stuff. Went to these, like, seminars, and they were, like... Oh, so
very enlightening.
Information. Yeah. It was great, though.
Met some pretty crazy high-ups of the New Zealand industry, which is cool.
Nice.
Interesting folk, some crazy characters. Mm. But, yeah, honestly, I think we just learnt that the industry in New Zealand is kind of... It's a really good place to be. I think it's a really supportive community, and I think the industry can get a real bad rap sometimes, but from the people I met, it seemed like everyone was super open arms and welcome and wanting to find some new bands, which was cool.
It was interesting, like, putting a name to a face. Like, we learned all about these people who are going, and you think, oh my gosh, they're going to be like super, you know, high up and scary, but they were just like normal people. Super, it was really chill. Nice, kind of.
Yeah,
it wasn't super intimidating. It was intimidating playing, though, because it's not scary. Like a gig, they're not moshing. They're kind of sitting there and, you know, listening. So it was, you know, it was good, real fun, really interesting experience.
You're also, like, seeing, I mean, how many other bands, like 20 other acts or something, play all from around the country?
Some really good acts, too.
Princess Chelsea and...
Yeah.
I think Anthony Tonon was there.
Yeah.
He
played really well.
Sick. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He's got an awesome song called Matoda at Paper Mill, which I highly recommend everyone listen to. Bring it back to the album. Whispers is probably my favourite track on here. The song opens with this very, very tinny drum beat, and the chorus is ushered in with this very beautiful violin and guitar passage. It's also got some great dynamism and drama. And it's also more muted. It gets kind of slower. It's got something there I can really sink my teeth into. And it was an earlier tune that had been like kind of run through research and development, R&D. What about that track didn't work when it started, and how did you remedy that?
everything didn't work. We had the funniest version of it.
Like, my violin part was
like
so goofy.
I like whispers.
Exactly what it was like.
Well, that really tinny drum beat at the start is kind of do you call it?
An echo?
Yeah,
of
an
the past?
Echo of the previous version.
Oh, true,
song.
True.
So that really fast drum beat continued through the entire song originally. And then we decided to, strip it back and then throw it together again with just a different beat and different melodies on the violin.
Yep.
Some different lyrics? Lyrics?
Same lyrics. Do you know, I think it's Liana LaHavis.
Oh, Liana LaHavis.
Yeah, Harvis.
Shout out Liana LaHavis.
She has a really great cover of Wet Fishes, and we were listening to that at the time, and it was like, all right, same tempo, and this, I guess, is how it should sound. It was, it was a good inspiration. But for those who went to some of the earlier gigs, I remember Louis' crazy cool violin line. It was like
cool.
It was like some pirate music.
Yeah, it was
like a sea shanty. Was this a sea shanty? Yeah. Arr, we're Ivy, and we're going to get the lasses, get some booty.
We should have
You should have. Next album has to be a sea shanty. Now, Connor, you've spoken about how often with your songwriting, there'll be kind of an initial spark of a song, and then it becomes a raging fire as you flesh it out. Oftentimes, Jesse, you actually write the lyrics afterwards. Are there many sparks that snuffed out in the making of this project that you might return to at a later date?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. Oh, yeah, I need to speak closer. yes, there's always lots of music that we're making pretty much every day that falls through the cracks, and that doesn't mean we forget about it. We just usually
haven't figured it out
up.
Yet.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's just not time yet.
True.
And, yeah, it works well for us that way, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, I think there are like different ways to interpret a song. Like, you got the basis with the chords and the structure, and then it's like, just doesn't work at the time, but you can kind of come back to it and rework it. I think it was Nude by Radiohead that was written during OK Computer era, and then they like kept it until 10 years later and reworked it. So it's kind of a matter of that doing that. What do you reckon?
I kind of feel that like it's kind of a gamble what songs almost like work with everyone in a way, like, as in it could be like the one you aren't expecting at the time, you don't expect it to work, but it just like does. Whereas like if you have a big like vision, that could also work. If you have like a big vision of a song, it's gonna work, but I don't know. I just feel like it's a bit of a gamble. Never know what's gonna like fly and what's not.
Yeah, I mean, the Clint Eastwood from the Gorillaz, the melody from that was just like a default preset on like a Casio keyboard.
Yeah.
So you never know what might strike gold.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I said yesterday on the program that I'd be interviewing these guys this morning, and I actually got an email. A guy recorded a question for you guys. The quality is a little bit iffy because he was driving around, but here I have a question from a guy called Trev. So we're going to hear what Trev has to say.
Yeah, g'day guys, it's Trev McClay here. Sorry about the noise in the background, I'm just counting 28,000 litres of premium grass-fed milk in my truck. My question to you fellas is, how do you balance work and family?
So I think his question was, how do you balance work and family?
Who is Trev?
I don't know, he's just some random guy.
Backbone.
Yeah.
Backbone.
How do we balance work and family? The age-old question.
Age-old question,
well,
very...
You know, we're all in our early 20s, so we've got all families of our own. It's really hard, actually.
Yeah, how are you paying off your mortgages?
Work
in progress.
Two divorces in.
Genuine question, though. Balancing work and band is
so hard.
Is a challenge, honestly. Like, Louis works full time. Ocean works full time. I work most of the time. Jesse and Connor are both in study full time. It can be a real challenge to balance everything: record an album, release the album, go on tour, play gigs, make merch, you know, all the band stuff on top of everything.
Make NFTs. Yeah. Make a crypto coin.
Exactly. Pretty much. But we end up I end up just prioritizing the band stuff. Don't really care about anything.
Maybe we don't balance so well at the moment. It might not be a priority right now. But
I think, speaking for myself, like, I've spread myself too thin a little bit over too many different things, so I kind of feel like I'm fairly mediocre at a bunch of stuff. The band thing is like the one thing, it's a saving grace in my life, really.
Me too.
So the balance is not really balanced, but there's an equilibrium in all things.
Mm-hmm. We make it work.
You make it work. We are going on a tour pretty soon, starting off, I think, on my birthday, on the 3rd of October.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Happy birthday, Zach.
Thank you. So, is this the biggest tour that you've been on?
Yeah.
Yep.
We've only ever done 2 South Island tours before this.
True.
We played in Auckland twice ever, including that Going Global showcase we did. So, it'll be our first show in Wellington of all time.
Nice.
So, that's exciting.
I'll have you over there.
Full nationwide tour, and then hopefully next year look across the water and we've got our sights set for Australia.
Oh, Australia?
And Brazil.
We're going to go play in Ghana. Yeah. We're going to go to the Ivory Coast. Yeah. We're going to Madagascar. Right. And I did have a chat with a music journalist yesterday called Samantha Chong, who went with There's a Tuesday to South Korea for 10 days. I think a lot of New Zealand artists overlook the fact that we live right next to Asia.
Yeah,
that could be like a pretty prominent little time.
Market, that's something massive. That was definitely discussed at Going Global, the Asian market.
Mm.
It seems like they really love live music, love bands, rock bands.
The fan culture is quite solid.
Where was it that had like physical copies make up like 50% of revenue for artists?
Yeah, Japan.
True.
Yeah,
true.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
They buy the merch as well.
Like, yeah.
Just everything.
Also, just how cool it would be to go to like Japan or South Korea.
Yeah. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Australia is just like a big red hot New Zealand.
Yeah.
Slightly more racist, slightly more cold. But I want to thank you for coming on the program this morning, guys. Do you have any final words for our lovely listeners out there?
Listen to Hush. It's out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for all the support so far. Keep it coming.
Yeah, the support has been undeniable and means a whole lot. So, yeah, thank you for everyone who's ever come to a show, bought a ticket, you know, bought merch, or just, like, reposted a story. Anything helps. So it means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Any final words, Connor and Louis?
Just that. Reiterating that.
Cheers.
Sid well.
Love you guys.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I appreciate your time. You're all very, very busy people. And all the best with the record.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was, Connor, James, Jesse, and Louis from Ivy. We're talking to them about their new record, Hush, which is out now. We're going to play the closer track, St. John, and then we'll have the Rad Times gig guide at 9. I'll see you then. Here's Ivy with St. John. Kia ora.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.